at WMRA News. I'm Bob Levikin. The Republican delegate Steve Landis is retiring from the House after serving for more than two decades, leaving his seat open in any election year. The U.S. Senate has confirmed the youngest federal judge in the country to Richmond's high-profile U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And is Virginia's Medicaid expansion part of the answer to the opioid crisis? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 6th. Republican delegate Steve Landis announced Tuesday that he will run for an open clerk of court job in Augusta County rather than seek re-election to the state house. The Daily Progress reports that Landis's decision comes as a surprise during this critical election year in which all 140 seats in the General Assembly are up for election. The Republican delegate currently serves as chairman of the House Education Committee and vice chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. Landis has represented Virginia's 25th district since 1996, which covers parts of Augusta, Albemarle, and Rockingham counties. The United States Senate has confirmed the youngest federal judge in the country to Richmond's high-profile U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals from partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
37-year-old Allison Jones Rushing is another Trump appointee who had been grilled by Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
They were worried about her life experience because she is so young.
But Carl Tobias, law professor at the University of Richmond, said she had credentials.
She had three prestigious clerkships for Judge Santel on the D.C. Circuit, Judge Gorsuch on the Tenth Circuit before he went to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Now her age becomes an advantage.
At some point, probably in 2030 or something, will be the chief judge of the court if she's not already appointed to the Supreme Court.
The appointment is for life.
School counselors are about to get a little more money to increase staffing, but as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, it's still nowhere close to the required ratio of counselors to students.
The American School Counselors Association says schools should have one counselor for every 250 students. Virginia is so far behind meeting that standard, it would cost about $85 million to catch up. Rachel Dean at the Legal Aid Justice Center says the high dollar amount shows how far Virginia has slipped in recent years.
Over the past decade, we have seen student enrollment statewide increase dramatically. At the same time, we've seen staffing for these crucial positions fall.
Governor Ralph Northam wanted to invest $36 million this year as part of a three-year plan to get closer to that recommended counselor-to-student ratio. But the General Assembly ended up funding only $12 million. Chris Duncombe at the Commonwealth Institute says that's because lawmakers were so focused on delivering an election year tax cut.
That really limited the ability to do large-scale improvements to our schools and K-12 funding. Those tax choices come at a cost, and I think they came at a cost to the schools.
That extra $12 million will help the ratio a bit, but even with the new money, elementary schools will still only have one counselor for every 455 students. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, this year, Virginia became the 33rd state to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, giving nearly 400,000 low-income residents access to affordable health care insurance. The expansion could have a significant impact on opioid addiction in the state, and Charles Fishburne has that story.
VCU's Peter Cunningham is leading a five-year study of the state's addiction and recovery services beginning in 2017.
We estimated that as many as 60,000 uninsured Virginians could gain access to substance use disorder treatment services by enrolling in Medicaid.
Those numbers could strain the health system.
Over time, we do expect the supply of such providers to increase.
He says the state and the medical community have taken steps to stop the epidemic, including the ARTS program and closer monitoring of prescriptions, but sales on the street have increased.
And it's the heroin and fentanyl that's really driving the epidemic currently.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.